Bonjour, Eddie. The seventh round of the season finds us in the province of Quebec, on an island in the St. Lawrence River, next to a biosphere for the Grand Prix of Canada. Our lovely host city, Montreal, is the Paris of North America, and the circuit, made up of park streets and track, is named for the late local legend Gilles Villeneuve. However, a win here has eluded the current legend and driver's champion. But whose luck has it, his Red Bull hooves are scratching from the front of the grid. Will Seb be able to scratch this race off of his to-do list? Or will he be scraping against the infamous wall of champions? Will any driver be able to detour his charge for the checkered flag? Stay tuned, mes amis, c'est la Désirée, and this is your F1 Weekly Canadian Grand Prix Racecast. Au revoir, eh?
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. With the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 629, June 16th, 2013. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Tim Horton Donuts, the Krispy Kreme and Creme de la Creme of Canada.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, the tribunal giveth and the tribunal can taketh away, Nasser. Red Bull could very well run away with this one. Happy Father's Day to everyone here in the beautiful colonies that we love so much. Stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King himself, Nasser Hamid, and we'll have 50 words on the forum from Ms. Desiree. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Good to see you again. What's happening?
Oh, it's a beautiful day here. Of course, we've got a long break from Canada to Silverstone, exactly 3 weeks. And of course, we take about a week to get into our podcast mode after the last race, which was Canada. And for Red Bull, that was a great race. Happy people over there, Nasser.
Absolutely, sir. And surprisingly, this was Red Bull's first victory in North America. But quite a bit of sadness and tragedy in the past week. You know, a race marshal lost his life after the Grand Prix in Montreal. Jason Leffler was killed in a racing accident in New Jersey. And the man who gave Enzo Ferrari his first success in Formula Uno, Senor Froline Gonzalez, passed away. So it's been quite a past few 10 days.
No, I totally agree. The sad part is these accidental deaths are really brutal to absorb and to take in, and you think about the familia and everything, but it happens, and there you have it. So
yeah, motor racing is dangerous no matter what you do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, let's go to Canada. On qualifying day, we had a little bit of dampness. It was exciting, and I certainly enjoyed it. In the end, and I thought for sure that maybe Nico might be able to pull the fourth consecutive pole in his career. Could you imagine bringing Mercedes up to the pinnacle? It couldn't happen. They were struggling. Tires could be an issue again. All that whoop-dee-dee about them and the testing, of course, the tribunal's coming up very, very soon. I believe it's on the 20th, is it not?
Yeah, and then Mercedes, I hear, is going to reveal the email that they got from FIA. So who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it has pissed off Christian Horner to no end that they tested with a 2013 car. And that is a pretty serious no-no. But let's see what happens.
Yeah, and exactly. And Ferrari, of course, they tested with a 2011 car. Hence, they are off the hook.
Yes, that is true.
So good for Ferrari and also good for Fernando.
Yes, and as far as Nico is concerned, that's what I was expecting, four in a row, or at least four in a row for Mercedes. And if he had gone four in a row, that was going to be pretty bad news for Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen some reverse cage rattling, which we love, and sometimes we didn't even expect. But, no, this year, this season has been pretty bizarre between Jenson Button, LCH. Who else? Who else is reverse cage rattling?
Sergio Perez.
Ah, my friend. El Machismo de Mexico.
Guadalajara.
Yes, one of my favorite places. But very, very exciting. And I thought qualifying was interesting until the very end, of course. An outstanding job, really, from Toro Rosso. Felipe Massa.
Your homeboy.
I don't know what's going on, but Toro Rosso, even Ricciardo, but Jean-Éric Vergne has really come alive in the last few races.
No surprise for me.
It's very, very impressive. A lot of people said he had a lot of talent. So, but still, you know, the accident from Massa. What's going on here, Nasser?
Well, he's on the Romain Grosjean program, blow hard, blow core. I think both of these two youths are on serious slippery slope.
I agree. I mean, you just can't keep doing it. I mean, if you're Pastor Maldonado, you know, it's expected.
Exactly.
And we know it's going to continue. But Felipe Massa, and for a while, it's funny. It looked like he was doing well. Then, bammo, two wrecks at Monaco. And then another big wreck here. Very interesting stuff. I don't see him. And we said this last year. Will he be at Ferrari next year? I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, you know, they are better off. They have numero uno that they want to win. So they've got no matter what this guy is, he's on the podium at the end of the race. So I my feeling is if they get in somebody like a Jules Bianchi, who's already in a contract to them, or a Robin Freins, who has won 3 championships in 3 years in Europe, put these guys in a seat as teammate to Nando and say, hey, all we want you to do is learn from numero uno. Don't rattle the cage here and make sure you bring the car home. If you can bring the car home, even in the top 10, you get some points, which translates into a lot of dineros.
Exactly. No, I agree. And then really the big question, I think, for next year is, will they want to go with a new young talent because of the 2014 car and all its new surprises? Or will they want to continue with double experience like double mint gum? And I believe that's the route they're going to take. And I believe Mark Webber will be going to Ferrari next year. That's my tip of the week.
I don't think that's going to happen. And new car is a new regulation is level playing field for everybody. So another reason to take on some new blood. You know, with new blood, you know, if they're totally bomb like some people have, then you open the door after the first 5-6 races.
No, that's very, very true.
Yeah.
I just think Fernando will want Mark next to him.
No, I think Nando is pushing the team very hard. Look, the person who really understands you guys when you speak Italian is Fisico.
I would love to see Fisico back, but he was terrible. He bombed.
He is driving for Ferrari in sports car racing.
I understand. But nevertheless, anyway, let's talk a little bit about qualifying. Not only did Toro Rosso do well, but we also have the continuing saga of Dario Franchitti's cousin and Adrian Sutil, who's out to impress every moment. And I think he's doing an outstanding job, especially since he took a year off.
That is very true. Very impressive. And in talking of colleague Q1, usual suspects were out. Surprise was, you know, like you mentioned, Dario's cousin, Paul Di Resta, for Force India. Jules Bianchi was half a second faster than his teammate, Max Chilton. Both are rookies at Russian-owned Marussia team. And this, you know, thing that Bianchi is doing, even though he lost the championship in World Series by Renault because of an accident to Robin Freins, and in 2 years of GP2 he was third twice, which is very good, and he has a lot of success in other Formula, you know, F3 Euro Series, Formula Renault, and he's impressing a lot of people. He's getting a lot of positive press, just like Sergio in his first year. So and him going much better than Max Chilton, who is no slouch, I think the future is good for this kid. Is really making a name for himself, just like Sutil and Sergio Perez and Hulkenberg. They belong in Formula One.
And not only that, but a lot of these names have also been spoken about replacing Felipe Massa as well. I mean, I can see a Hulkenberg teaming up with Fernando, or a Bianchi, or even a Di Resta. I mean, sort of an Italian-sounding name anyway.
Yeah, and, you know, Hulkenberg is with Sauber, and they have a Ferrari engine. So that won't be a surprise.
Exactly. And Germans tend to feel comfortable at Ferrari.
Yeah. And they do. They can rattle cages and a few other things.
Exactly. I don't see that happening, but still, Fernando is going to hold his own. Also, we have to talk about Sebastian Vettel. I mean, quickly, I don't want to change the topic because we're still talking about qualifying. He signed until 2015 with Red Bull, Nasser.
Yeah, and
it's
people are
locked
making.
In.
Yeah, people are making a big deal that he was signed up until 2014. That is just an extension of 1 year. But you know what? As long as he's winning, Adrian Newey is there. I think he'll stay there.
Yeah.
What he should really do is, if a team comes up where they are consistently on pole and on the podium, then maybe he can walk into any team. We all know.
Obviously his CV is well packed.
Yeah, exactly. Going back to Sauber, their drivers are struggling with a non-competitive car, and I feel kind of bad for Nico Hülkenberg that he left Force India, and they're doing so good, and now gone to a team where they don't have a very good car. But he continues to have quite an edge on rookie teammate Esteban Gutierrez, and both these two kids won Formula BMW Championship with the same team, Josef Kaufmann. So both are very good, and I would like to see Esteban, get closer in time to Nico, and then also start finishing races. And misery loves company. Both McLaren drivers were also victims of Q2. Which is, and you mentioned Pastor Maldonado. What can I say? A guy was a race winner last year. Now he was out in Q2 while his new to F1 teammate, Senor Bottas, was fourth in Q2. So it's.
Valtteri is really getting comfortable and getting to grips with this Williams Renault. If Valtteri.
It's going to be Williams Mercedes next year, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
If this gentleman. This could be big trouble for Maldonado. Too many accidents. If his teammate starts out qualifying, he's out of F1 next year.
Well, he's got a big check from Pedrovesa, so that might keep him somewhere. Lotus, Marussia, actually his name is being linked with Lotus right now. Because I have a feeling that Kimi Raikkonen is on his way to Red Bull.
You believe that?
I think so. Because, the guy has impressed mightily. He deserves something better. And I don't think it's more because of the resources that the Lotus team will be able to provide him a consistent race winning
car.
Yeah,
but Lotus still doing pretty good, even though now they're beginning to fall back.
Yeah, but if you take him out of the equation and put somebody else, then
it could be trouble.
Then all of a sudden Romain Grosjean is going to be the number one driver. I think Raikkonen has so much media on him that he's going to Renault, and his performance speaks for itself. And he'll be a very good guy for them. They'll never get into trouble with him. He's not going to say anything to upset the apple cart or whatever they have in Austria.
And I know one thing for sure. Kimi Raikkonen does not drink Red Bull.
Really?
Yeah, you can tell by the way he talks and walks and sleeps a lot and eats ice cream.
Yeah, talking about sleeping, he likes to sleep before a race, even from his days of karting.
So, Q3, exciting. I mean, I thought the results were not only stimulating, but really, I think all the kudos go to Valtteri Bottas and Williams. I mean, poor Frank.
This was this was a throwback to the race in Brazil when Nico Hülkenberg with Williams got on pole. It was just that kind of a.
I agree. That kind of electricity.
Exactly. Volt.
Exactly.
Even though they don't have Chevy as the engine supplier.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but I know this was very exciting, and I followed this kid's. You know what happened here? I think I mentioned to you when Olivier Menu came here some years ago, and he works for Nicolas Torn. We were having dinner in San Francisco, and for hours and hours we're talking motor racing, and I remember saying to him, is there any driver who is very good and we should keep an eye on, up and coming, that we have not brought up in this conversation? And he says, Valtteri Bottas. And I said, I had heard the name, but I was not familiar. I said, who is this guy? He said, oh, he's very good. He's in Formula Renault. And that year he beat Daniel Ricciardo. It was a small difference, but he still won the championship. Again, Daniel Ricciardo. And everybody I've spoken to, including some drivers who have raced against Ricciardo, they say this kid is the real deal. So Bottas did very well in Formula 3 also. And then last year he had a pretty piss-poor start to the GP3 campaign, and then he said there were some issues with the tires. Once the team learned how to come to grips with the tire, he came through and won the championship against very good competition. So I think this kid is very good. And he's a very nice kid. I've met him a few times. He's Pepito also. And he's on the Ricciardo program, always smiling. I've never seen him not smiling. So I want to see this kid and all the talented kids get into good F1 seats.
Exactly. No, it was a great moment for him. LCH out qualifying and on the front row. I thought that was good for Mercedes. It was also good for LCH. He needs a little pumping up because his cage has been rattled by his friend Nico Rosberg, who's obviously had 3 poles.
Yeah, plus a race win.
Yes.
My 2 pesos were on Lewis to win this race because this is where he won his first race and he has been very good at this track. Except when coming out of the pit lane.
Well, Lewis Hamilton is basically, well, besides that, kissing Kimi Raikkonen. But he has owned Canada. LCH, from his very first race there, I mean, he is always impressed in Canada. So, outstanding. And I have to admit, I was surprised Red Bull pulled it out of the hat because of all their whining and complaining about the Mercedes tests that was unfair and they've got an advantage. In the end, Red Bull is fast as heck. They sandbag a lot. Vettel on pole. What are they bitching about?
Well, you know, they have a very strong gripe and a very valid gripe, I would say, as far as that. I was very, very surprised to find out that was a secret test because it's hard to keep. Like I said, you can't keep a secret inside NSA and inside Gitmo, let alone testing for 4 days at a Formula One track in Barcelona. And I read somewhere that some of the teams, when they were, you know, everybody, as soon as the race ends, they're packing up.
They're packing up, and all of a sudden, Mercedes is, they're making lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And getting the lawn chairs out.
Yeah, they were getting on the spaghetti culture. So people were thinking, hey, what's going on? Or maybe it was the sauerkraut culture, I don't know. But there was some, you know, hey, what's going on? I mean, it's just like the, hate to bring this up again, the Nelson Piquet crash in Singapore. Even watching live, it was just way too convenient. Way too convenient.
Really? I didn't think that.
No, well, but yeah, of course. You are fake focused on who's going to win the race.
Well, that's what we all focus on, Nasser.
Yes. But, especially starting way back in the grid.
Exactly, but we'll see what happens. So, great qualifying. I'm happy for Infinity Red Bull. Sebastian Vettel on pole. And once again, Ferrari in 6th place. You know, Fernando not being able to get the best out of the cars. I'm surprised that because the Ferrari seems to have such good pace during the race. Obviously, they've got some qualifying issues to fix.
Yes, but you know, no matter where the Ferrari team qualifies, you know, at the end of the race, Nando is on the podium.
That's very true.
And I'm going to tell you,
why make Fernando work so hard?
He enjoys it. He's a hardworking man. And then he can really show who is machismo in the team. But, you know, as far as Sebastian Vettel is concerned, just because of the hot roll they have been, and he is tremendous racing talent, you know, even though he may have the best car, which is certainly the case. But I'm not. The pole and victory did not surprise me for Sebastian Vettel. And I think the only thing that's going to stop him is Romain Grosjean running into him a couple of times and then Pastor Maldonado running into him a couple of times. But because, you know, what is happening now that's hurting your hombre is Mercedes is a competitive package and Raikkonen also is doing fairly well. They're going to, even if Sebastian Vettel is to crash out or have a kablamo, which is so rare these days, there are people who will take points from Nando.
Yeah,
and that's going to help Bastian. So I'm ready for 4 in a row.
No, and the biggest problem with Sebastian Vettel is now he's building up that points lead in the championship where even if he has a kablamo, people are still having to have to catch up. I mean, I'm not prepared to accept the fact that this young 25-year-old is going to take in his 4th world championship. I mean, it's just too much to bear.
Hey, it's Renault power. You should be proud of it.
I am. But don't forget, in the 90s, you know, Williams Renault, Benetton Renault. Renault finally quit Formula One because it got boring winning championships, believe it or not. Even though it's a little different today. Vettel, like I said, could run away with this championship if somebody doesn't pick up the pace, including Lotus and, of course, Ferrari. I mean, how long is Montezemolo going to be able to handle having one of the best drivers in the world and not be able to provide him with the package that they know if he had the package, it would be world championship after world championship after world championship. Montezemolo is suffering right now, and Dominic Cali's head is going to roll if this doesn't get fixed.
Yeah, but you know, you just cannot blame one person for this issue. I mean, as we have seen with Sebastian Vettel, right now he's not on a hot roll. When this German steamboat gets on a hot roll, then it's going to be like the Asian races, you know, 4 or 5 wins in a row. And right now there's still a lot of racing to go. But just for the sake of your health, if this team gets into a very sort of a run of success and he goes 3 wins in a row, that will pretty much seal the championship. It will not be over mathematically. Still be possible to beat him. But things are looking very good for him right now.
I agree.
But if he goes 4 in a row, Mr. Rogers,
then
I would love to see him go 5 in a row.
Stop.
No,
we cannot have. Then all of a sudden it'll be called Schumacher. Schumacher, when he had the best car, the best tires, the best package, unlimited testing, and the best designers.
Yeah, but we've seen him in all forms, you know, coming from, 2 of his victories were come from behind.
I agree. And his victory in Toro also was outstanding.
And he does not have Fisico as a teammate, but he also does not have LCH as a teammate. But you have to work with what you have.
I understand. So anyway, before I even mention Silverstone and the advantages to certain teams, we do need to go into the lights out mode and start this race now.
No, just let me just...
Have been delayed.
Yeah. We have a 15-second delay. I'm going to tell you why. 3 drivers remain unbeaten by their teammates in qualifying. 2 of them are from Deutschland, Uber Alles, the aforementioned Herr Vettel, and he has yet to qualify behind teammate Mark Webber, which I'm sure will happen sooner or later. And Nico Hülkenberg is enjoying the same domination over his teammate Esteban Gutierrez. And 3rd king of Quali is Kimi Raikkonen. He is well ahead of teammate Grosjean, both in Quali and on race day. And this, again, really shows how good this kid is. Rookie Valtteri Bottas has out-qualified more experienced teammate Crashero Maldonado. That's his new name.
Wow.
Crashero Maldonado, 5-2. Proving once again, when you reach Formula Uno, you must perform upon arrival.
Keep up the good work, Mass, for that stunning set of statistics.
And we're from, you know, we're in California. I'd like to mention that California kid Alexander Rossi got his first Friday practice of the season in Montreal with Caterham team, and he is hoping to make his F1 debut with the team next season. So we wish him all the best.
Absolutely. We need an American back on the grid.
Absolutely. And a competitive American, not just running around in 20th place every race.
Absolutely. And not only that, but by 2014, it looks like the New Jersey Grand Prix is going to happen.
I'm looking forward to it. Yes. I'll be there.
I know. You're buying my ticket.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea they had a Taco Bell in New Jersey also.
They do.
On Turnpike 3.
Yep. There you have it. Anyway, the lights go out. Vettel gets a good start and leads into turn 1 with 2 Mercedes behind him. Then Webber and Valtteri Bottas. Now, we knew Valtteri Bottas was going to slowly fall behind. My big question is, was he going to make some mistakes, take some cars out? Not a lot of maturity still in Formula One. And I think he handles these first few laps quite well.
I totally agree with you. Not that I was expecting that he will make the mistake, but I just had a very strong feeling that something will happen before the first lap is over, and somehow A. Williams will be involved.
Yes, and I had the same kind of feeling, but luckily that didn't happen.
Yeah, and Grosjean, Di Resta, Bianchi, and Chilton started on medium tires, rest on super softs.
Super softs. So at the end of lap 1, Bottas is now coming under serious pressure from Fernando Alonso, and that's the kind of pressure that really separates the boys from the men, Nasser.
Si, senor.
Yeah, lap 2, Alonso takes over 5th place by breezing past Bottas on the straight, even without DRS being enabled, showing that, yes, El Machismo has begun this race. He knows that he's got to pass as many cars as possible. Lap 3, Massa is down in 14th and immediately challenging Maldonado. Now, let me get this straight. So, Fernando is up front, and his teammate at Ferrari is fighting with Pastor.
Yes, and you know what that means.
Danger. Will Robinson.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, luckily a good pass around the outside there for the Brazilian, and he takes the spot. Lap 3, Vettel clocks the fastest lap as he pulls 2.8 seconds clear of Hamilton already. Nasser, the Red Bull Renault is flying. You can almost feel it that this is going to be one controlled Vettel race.
Yeah, and announcers were already saying, okay, here is the result, who the race winner will be.
Yes, unfortunately. But still, there was some excitement in the race. Lap 3, DRS is enabled. And with Alonso 2.3 seconds behind Mark Webber, it gets interesting. Lap 4, Vettel pulls over 3 seconds clear of Hamilton, and now the Mercedes pair seemingly attempt to keep some life into their rubber, and you can see Nico Rosberg struggling. Lap 5, Jean-Éric Vergne is 7th. Toro Rosso.
Yeah.
Toro Rosso is out driving some of the better teams. It's pretty impressive, and I think, you know, what's really sad about all the Kimi Raikkonen talk is some of these guys think that that seat might be theirs, and they've earned it. So this is where F1 gets to be tough.
Yeah, you know, your man, Jeff, Jean-Éric Vergne, had a meteoric rise through the ranks with the help of Red Bull, as we all know, and now he's showing some heart steam as he battles with teammate Ricciardo, like you said, for possible replacement for Webber at the mothership. But both these Red Bulls may be slaughtered by a Finnish butcher. And we know who that is.
Exactly, I agree.
More than one right now.
Yep. Lap 6, Jean-Éric Vergne does an outstanding job by getting around the languishing Valtteri Bottas in his Williams Renault. And I hate to even say Williams Renault with languishing, because in the past that wasn't the case.
But it's been Williams Renault, Williams BMW, Williams Toyota, Williams Cosworth, Williams Hugo, Williams Trabant. I mean, it's very bad.
It's very bad. And of course, it'll be Williams Mercedes next year. And I know everybody is all excited, but I don't think it's going to make a big difference.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know how they can come up with the race winning car last year, and now they got all these issues.
Yeah, no, it's a big problem. But don't forget, it's not the same Williams. But Susie Wolf wants a stab at it, Nasser.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Lap 8, Derussa has recently had an issue with his DRS not working properly. It seems to have been fixed, and now he is machismo. Lap 9, Bottas is 7th and has found a level and is now pulling away from Ricciardo, who's been nipping at his heels. Both Toro Rosso's up there in the top 10. Very impressive. And by lap 9, Vettel's lead is now 5.1 seconds to Hamilton, but at least Hamilton is holding on.
Yeah, and it was only about 10 minutes into the race that our man Crashiro Maldonado makes his mark and hits Sutil. What else is new?
I know, but
it's getting silly, you know.
I know it is getting silly, and he's always wrapped up into these things. Now, to be honest with you, you know, I don't know what Pastore's fault or his issue is, but for me, that looked like a racing incident. If
that's what he said.
Well, that's because now Pastore is cursed. He does so many of these things. Even if it's a racing incident, he's going to get blamed for it.
Guilty by association.
Thank you very much, Nasser.
I think if Romain Grosjean crashes into Kimi Raikkonen, they're going to blame Pastore for it.
Absolutely. Lap 11, Alonso is 5th, 13.2 seconds off the lead. And Jean-Éric Vergne is actually chasing Alonso with Bottas right behind. Lap 12, Massa tries the double outside into the casino hairpin, but that doesn't work, and Hülkenberg almost sneaks through and takes advantage. Lap 13, Perez pits the McLaren and takes on medium compound tires. He rejoins down in 15th place. McLaren, they got some big issues. I think Martin Whitmarsh is going to start getting nervous if they don't pick this up. At least have some top 10 finishes in Silverstone. Trust me. Lap 14, Rosberg just gets ahead of Mark Webber, and the battle has resumed. Very impressive stuff for Webber. And yeah, you're right. Webber's got the new Porsche LMP1 has come out for the Le Mans series. Did you see the picture of that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I thought it was very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exciting. I thought about Mark Webber. He's rumored to be in that seat.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying.
So,
well, he did sports car racing and was flying high at Le Mans once with Mercedes. So I won't be surprised if he goes back to the same series with another German make.
Exactly. Lap 15, Alonso is now up to third place, 8.7 seconds behind new leader Hamilton, because Vettel just pitted. And Hamilton is pretty pumped up. Even though the Mercedes doesn't do well on these tires, they're shoring a little bit of an advantage there. And, of course, Christian Horner is blaming on the illegal testing.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, at least the car is now competitive. You know, you can see them on a regular basis in the top five, which is good.
Right. Lap 17, Weber is all over the back of Mercedes by Nick Rosberg. And lap 18, Hamilton is clocked 7.4 seconds ahead of Sebastian Vettel. In lap 18, Massa pits from 8th place for the Ferrari. So Massa's pretty good. You know, I mean, he started, what, 16th? He's up to 8th before he pits. He's giving it his best shot, Nasser, under extreme Fernando pressure.
Yes, that's quite a bit of pressure.
It is. Lap 19, Hamilton is still in the low 120 brackets, with Vettel now closing as he begins to enjoy his fresh rubber. So, pretty impressive stuff. Hamilton enjoyed that lead for a little while, but it was just no way. I hate to say it, but the Red Bull looks so fast in Canada that I think everybody's sweating bullets, including
Mark Webber.
Yep. So anyway, lap 21, Raikkonen still hasn't pitted yet, and it's amazing, but he is the new smooth operator.
Oh, he has been. He did a one-stopper, and, you know, the guy is pure racing talent. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Lap 21, Gutierrez is now falling backwards down the order, and he needs to get in for another set of tires. But finally, lap 22, Gutierrez pits as Massa in 12th has an enormous dig at Sutil at the first corner. The German holds him off. Keep up the good work, Adrian. Lap 23, Raikkonen is now being told to save fuel with consumption at Lotus, said to be higher than expected. And it was interesting how now Lewis Hamilton has been reading Kimi Raikkonen's book.
That book doesn't say anything. You open the first page, it's empty. Second page is empty. And the last page says, thank you. Thank you. That was done by a ghostwriter, I'm told.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah. Fascinating. Lap 27, Sutil versus Massa. The fight for ninth is getting tasty as the German defends another vigorous attempt at turn one. Sutil is pretty pumped up. I don't know what kind of vitamins he's taking. It could be that piano playing.
You know, I just thought of an autobiography of Kimi Raikkonen. Just have full of like 100 pages of photographs and just like 3 words on each photo from him. My first F3 race, my last kart race.
I think that's beautiful, Nasser. Keep up the good work. Lap 28, Grosjean is scrapping it up with Sutil and Massa, and Bottas in 11th, and Button is still down in 12th. Rosberg is now 20 seconds, a pit stop behind Vettel. Button does indeed pit this time on lap 29. He takes on medium tires and rejoins in 16th. The position, not a great day for Jenson Button.
No, JB, you know, he did also a one-stop strategy. But I think, you know, he's, I don't know if his cage is being rattled, but he's like, he's got some issues. He's losing sleep at night with his teammate.
I think so, too. It's interesting. And with the McLaren not performing as well and Sergio being so aggressive, I think it's going to get under Jensen's skin. On lap 31, Weber makes it stick as he gets around Nico Rosberg and closes the door on Fernando Alonso. Lap 32, Valtteri Bottas is now in 11th and struggling again as Perez and Raikkonen are pushing his little butt. It's a little brutal for Bottas because he's got the big boys always on his ass. Lap 33, Weber now the fastest lap of the race. And the gap to Hamilton ahead is 10.2 seconds. Perez gets in the DRS zone and almost nudges the back of Bottas as they cross the line. He makes the move stick and takes 11th spot. Lap 34, Hamilton reports to the team that he's having some kind of DRS problem. What'd you get from that, Nas?
These things happen, and, you know, as long as you're winning, stop complaining.
Exactly. Lap 35, halfway through the race, Vettel leading comfortably with a 15.6 second stop. I mean, gap, excuse me.
That's pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive. And in Canada, that's, I mean, he just needs a little bit more. And he pits and he keeps the lead.
The interesting thing about the Canadian circuit, even though it's like a street circuit, basically, you know, you don't have a lot of sweeping turns. But thanks to long straights, it's still a very fast track.
It is. Well, at this stage of the game, I was pretty convinced that Red Bull had this in the bag.
Yeah.
Whether...
In the can.
Yeah, in the can, yeah. And for me, the battle was between Fernando and Lewis Hamilton.
That was very exciting. Especially with the names involved.
Yes, exactly. And it was impressive because on lap 38, it's now announced that Vandegaard and Weber under investigation because they had a little mix-up. Weber not happy with the Caterham.
Yes, and you know, interestingly, after Weber was hit by Vandegaarde, Guido Vandegaarde, Vettel's engineer Rocky radios him to watch out for Guido, saying he's not paying attention. And now the F1 drivers have a new saying, I've been Guidoed.
Oh, thank you very much.
Not Guidoed.
Oh, yes.
Guidoed.
Okay, yeah. Guido Sabzucci is another podcast.
Exactly.
Exactly. But I like that very much. Lap 39, Weber's front wing obviously is missing. It's just the end plate, but still, he is not a happy camper. Vandegaarde on lap 40 has been told, stop and go penalty, Nasser.
What difference will that make?
You know, sometimes I think it's just to make a point that everybody's treated fairly. And nobody believes it. Anyway, lap 42, Alonso is piling the pressure on the second, and Bull now finally makes it stick. And bold move into the first corner. Keep up the good work, Fernando. But Weber's car was a little bit damaged. Weber said, when you have a damaged car, damaged by Guido or Guido, and Fernando's pressuring you, you're in big trouble. So I thought that was a good point, even though Weber and Fernando are good friends. But good, clean driving from these guys. No, Crashado, or what's his name?
Crashado Maldonado.
Crashado! Okay, Fernando on lap 43. He's 7.8 seconds behind Lewis Hamilton. It's definitely going to be tough for Lewis to hold off Fernando. Plenty of laps to go. I see a beautiful thing happening here, Nasser.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned about close racing and clean racing. That's one thing I really enjoy about motor racing now. You know, in the old days, there was always schmazel at the start. You know, in days gone by, as two competitive guys like Hamilton and Nando, they were running to each other or drive somebody off the track. Now with all those penalties and whatever, maybe racing drivers have grown up. It's good to see a car make a pass without major damage to one of the cars.
I agree. Lap 44, Grosjean pits after 42 laps. I mean, that was pretty impressive. The Lotus handles these medium tires very, very well. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And on lap 45, Sergio Perez pits for McLaren from 8th. He takes on the medians and goes into 12th position. Now, on lap 45, it looks like Hamilton is actually quicker than Alonso on the last lap, but that's not going to last very long. Lap 46, my buddy, not Jules Verne, but Jean-Éric Vergne, is 6th with DiResta yet to pit in 7th. He's doing a great job with these tires. And Sutil is 8th. Raikkonen 9th, not having a great day. Grosjean 10th. And Massa, number 11. Let's give some kudos to Fernando. No, not to Fernando, his buddy. Felipe. So wonderful. Anyway, on lap 49, Hamilton has to pit. He resumes in between that McLaren battle. It's exciting. Hamilton is next to jump in for his final pit stop. So I said that all backwards, but you get my meaning. Anyway, Vettel remains in fine 6th. He is 11 seconds behind Rosberg. DiResta is still to pit in 7th. This is a great, great, great stint from the Force India. Sutil is in 8th. Raikkonen is still in 9th on lap 51. Grosjean 10th. Massa 11th. Perez 12th. Perez is definitely going to put some pressure on Felipe Massa. Button 13th. And Bottas, poor guy. He's hanging in there in 14th place. And of course, his whole fantasy was to, even from P3 starting this race, is to get at least 1 point. So pretty brutal. Lap 52, DiResta's race engineer tells him that after the recent problems with tires, they will leave the decision up to him to change. In other words, they're going to let him make the big decisions now, and he feels pretty good about that. And I think it's because Dario gave him a call and said, you know, you can handle it. Alonso now 2.7 seconds behind Hamilton, as Weber is also encouraged on to chase the Mercedes. So Weber hoping to get a podium. And Hamilton is going to do his very, very best to keep Weber at bay, because Hamilton really needs this. He needs a pick-me-up. His emotions are down. He can't figure out why this young guy who has the best life in the world and lives in Monaco is rattling his cage. So I find it all very, very interesting. Sutil has handed a drive-through penalty, which I thought was a little unfair, and he was crying about it. And it's about the blue flags.
He had quite an adventurous day in Canada.
Well, yeah, and that spin where he did a 360, and I forgot to mention it, but that was pretty impressive how he didn't hit a soul. The car was brought back into the race very quickly. And once again, Adrian Sutil, like I said, doing an outstanding job having a complete year off of Formula One. Sometimes it's hard to rattle those cobwebs.
If you do a 360 on a track and still avoid Maldonado, that's a
feat in itself.
Exactly.
No, outstanding stuff. But he still gets the drive through for ignoring the blue flags. Fernando Alonso, once again, he's going to be looking at this race as probably one of his best races this season, climbing up all the way to P2. Passing Hamilton. Hamilton will hold on to P3, but still, Fernando, always there. Always there. Unfortunately, Kimi Raikkonen couldn't match that Fernando pace. And unfortunately, they're slowly beginning to fall. First we were talking, it was Vettel, Kimi Raikkonen, right behind Vettel. But the point spread is now beginning to widen. Yeah. And that gap, I think, for Kimi Raikkonen is going to become unrealistic.
Yeah, what we need is a 3-in-a-row Fernando.
That's what we need.
To spice things up.
Absolutely. Gutierrez not having a great race on lap 65. He pits from 16th spot. Alonso has just pulled out of DRS range on Hamilton with a mistake from the Spaniard picks up as the reason for getting closed by Hamilton. Meanwhile, up front, Vettel is a massive 20 seconds up on the lead. It was absolutely outstanding. Lap 66, Gutierrez coming out of the pits, took on soft rubber tires, and then shunted the car at the infamous place where the gentleman passed away. That was a really bizarre shunt coming out of the pits like that.
I heard that he apparently sort of like braked at those, like a small bump, and he apparently happened to brake at the same time and put the car out of control.
Yeah,
but it led to serious and very tragic consequences.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bizarre, but too bad for Gutierrez. Lap 68, Vettel is now two laps from commanding win in Canada, and it's pretty much done. Outstanding job, I think, from Fernando all the way around. I mean, Vettel led every lap from pole position, wins the Grand Prix. He has never won in North America, like you said previously. A great, great race from Red Bull. For me, the points are getting worse, and I don't want to see Vettel win another championship. We need some excitement here. It's time for Fernando.
I think it's really going to come down between these two. And if Mercedes has a very competitive car, I think the victories will be split between the two good friends, Mr. LCH and NR, not NRA. So I think things are looking very good, even if they remain the same, which they never do in Formula One. I think the wind is blowing Vettel's way. And as long as that Red Bull has immense money, they got Adrian Newey, Sebastian Vettel, and he really does not have much of a cage-rattling problem from his teammate, every once in a while. And then he can disobey team orders and get away with it because he is their golden goose and golden gander or whatever you want to call him. So it's shaping up to be another great season. And like I said, I think what we need to spice things up is 3 in a row from Fernando Alonso.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget Fernando's won in Silverstone before. He is good at Silverstone, but so is Mark Webber. And that could be interesting. Sebastian Vettel, though, looks very, very strong. Lots of things can happen in Silverstone. A lot of people are going to be bringing upgrades, including McLaren's home team. They have to do a lot better.
It would be nice to see LCH win at Silverstone.
That will be exciting. Big fan base.
Oh, yeah.
LCH will be pretty pumped up. And Nico Rosberg will certainly be fighting with him for pole position because that's a fast circuit. It's going to be interesting.
Do you think McLaren will win a race this year?
No.
Not even in the last 5-6 races?
Nope, no chance.
They tend to come up late in the season.
They do, but I think they're so far behind that now they need to hope to get some points.
But even with the non-competitive car, their drivers are providing a lot of excitement.
Absolutely.
I have to say.
Absolutely. I think it's great, and I hope Perez continues the pressure.
Yeah, sooner or later you see these two cars, running very close to each other. And I appreciate the aggressiveness between the two drivers.
Absolutely. And Perez had to do this. He couldn't just sit by at idle and let Button rule.
JB will have to deal with the Mexican uprising.
Absolutely. And they always do.
Yeah, that's good.
So, great stuff. Anything else on the race before we go to the big MM?
No, just, you know, I think apart from Vettel, the guy who really impressed me is Valtteri Bottas. You know, his management team includes Toto Wolff, the new head of Motorsports Honcho at Mercedes F1 team. And what do you think about a kid like Bottas at Ferrari?
I think it would be interesting.
You know, with 1 year of experience, he's a pretty cool-headed guy.
He is.
I think he would be a good guy to fill in Massa's shoes. But wrapping up the race, race distance was 70 laps. That's 305 kilometers approximately, which is just under 200 miles. Fastest laps had by Mark Webber, 116.182. And the 2000 Canadian Grand Prix was round 7 of 19. And talking of the season number of races, have you been hearing what they're saying about next year?
No.
There may be 21 races.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, they are saying that, you know, we're going to have New Jersey, and Russia is also coming on the
That's true.
Schedule.
One of your favorite places. Putin is all excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see. But who knows? One of the races might get dropped.
I think it will.
Yeah.
Bernie, a lot of...
It's amazing. You know, I hear that Korea is trying to bail out. Nobody's going there. But it's pretty pathetic. They don't race at the Istanbul track, which is a beautiful track. And I think, you know, there's a lot of interest in motorsports in Eastern Europe and also Turkey. I would like to see that race come back because the track is fantastic. So is the city. If they can make the ticket prices somewhat reasonable, not $400, then I think it will draw in crowd because it's a very nice facility.
I agree, but I think a lot of the teams don't want more than 20 races, so we'll see what happens.
That's part of the Concord Agreement, I believe.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what happens, but outstanding job. And now, quickly, the points spread.
Yeah, the standings. We have standings for you, sir. Would you like to read, or shall I read?
Oh, I can do it for you if you wish.
Yeah, I'll do the constructors.
Thank you. Okay, so numero uno, Sebastian Vettel with 132 points. Fernando Alonso right behind him with 96 points, Kimi Raikkonen with 88 points, Lewis Hamilton with 77 points, and Mark Webber with 69 points as the top five. So all of these guys still have a chance with some kablamos and some crash shadows.
Well, in the top five, you know, again, Mark Webber, I don't think he will be world champion. Lewis Hamilton, he needs more of pace in that car to be world champion. Kimi Raikkonen, victim of the package. So I think it's going to be between Sebastian Vettel and Fernando Alonso.
Nothing changes
on New Year's Day. Okay, or race day. Okay, Constructors Championship, number one, Red Bull, 201 points. Number two, Ferrari, 145. 96 of these are from numero uno, no surprise there. Mercedes, third with 134. Fourth is Lotus, 114. 88 of these come from Kimi, and Sahara Force India completes the top five with 51 points, running ahead of McLaren. Very, very impressive.
Very impressive, and kudos to them.
Yes, and Giga, also known as Guido van der Garde, will serve a five-grid place penalty at Silverstone for playing Let's Get Physical with Nico Hülkenberg's Sauber as the German was trying to lap the Dutchman. And finally, famous last words from the Canadian Grand Prix, courtesy of Jenson Button and splashed on the cover of this week's Autosport. And he says, and I quote, "I've never been so pleased to get out of the car," end of quote. And who can blame him?
Exactly. Tough cookies for him, but that's the way the cookie crumbles now, sir.
That is correct, sir.
So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charente region, sipping on cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charente. Opening in June 2012, Bassinon offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassinode is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassinode.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and Krispy Kreme regards. Or should we say, Tim Horton regards.
Thank you.
Which one do you prefer?
Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, they are pretty good.
Yep.
Okay, GP3 had a standalone race in Valencia. Connor Daly from Indiana on pole and wins the feature race, which is very good. So our congratulations to him and his Papito, Derek. Second race of the weekend was won by Robert Vizu. And if I'm screwing up the name, apologies to all the friendly people in Bucharest. Okay, MotoGP, Pedrosa on pole for Honda. Victory for Jorge Lorenzo on a Yamaha. Third win in 4 years for Jorge in Barcelona. Pedrosa second and rookie teammate Mark Marquez third. Mark also set the fastest lap. Very impressive this season, Mark Marquez. Pedrosa leads over Lorenzo in the championship, 123 to 116 points. Round 7 will be in the Dutch Grand Prix at Assen. And this is one of the non-F1 races that I really would love to go. Assen to motorcycle racing is what Monza is to Formula Uno.
Exactly.
Yeah. DTM from Lausitzring, first pole for ex-GP2 driver Christian Fittores in his Mercedes, victory number 2 for Gary Paffett, who is now third in the championship. Joint championship leaders are Bruno Spengler and Mike Rockenfeller. And thanks to our listener, Mr. Don Henry, north of the border, DTM races can be seen live on their YouTube channel. DTM cars are very cool, and lots of videos on their website, which is DTM.com. And the website is also in English and surprisingly Russian. So if you want to keep your comrade warm, check out the website. And I did, you know, and they have most of the races. And it's, you know, interestingly, with modern technology, you watch a video now on DTM or on YouTube, the quality is fantastic. So if you're interested in seeing some action, check it out, please. And, you know, what I do like about this, we have three manufacturers now, Audi, Mercedes, and BMW. And these are all factory involvement. So a lot of young drivers, talented drivers, who were not able to get into Formula One have now rides here. And these are well-paid rides, and it's a competitive series. Adrian Tombay is there. Marco Wittmann is there. And this kid from Sacramento, Joey Hand, is also racing there. So it's and Robert Wickens from Canada, who I think is in the same league as Jean-Éric Vaughan in terms of racing talent. So it's done a good service.
Well, not only that, but I think Paul DiResta has remove the stigma of once you're in DTM, you can't go to Formula One, which is really not true.
I once suggested the series to a young driver, and I've stayed in touch with him, and his comment to me was, "Oh, DTM is a dead end road."
Exactly.
And if you dominate a series, you will go somewhere.
I mean, I admit DiResta does have an advantage with his cousin.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But he's done. I mean, he's really shown that he deserves to be in Formula One.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, super. This is a series we normally don't cover, but this was interesting. Series is called Superstars. This is the Italian version of DTM. They had an event at the Slovakia Ring, and winner of race one was ex-F1 driver Vitantonio Liuzzi in a Mercedes, and he is driving for a team called Romeo Ferraris. So Mercedes of Romeo Ferraris won a race.
Pretty fascinating, and I wish Steve Faub was here to just say, Vitantonio Liuzzi.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. How is he doing, by the way?
I have no clue.
Enjoying Papitohood?
I suppose so. I heard he's doing a podcast on the San Francisco Giants.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Swing and a hit!
Yep. Is he starting out by saying Yahoo ads? Click on it. You
pretty
know
much,
you want
but now
to.
It's, I think it's hot dog ads.
Oh, really? Very good. Take a bite. You know you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, IndyCars from Milwaukee. This race ran on Saturday. A track older than Brickyard and Monza. Tremendous history here. The event is promoted by Michael Andretti. San Marco took pole for the race. And the race itself was won by his teammate, Ryan Hunter Ray, who is a very good American talent from Florida. And his wife is Robbie Gordon's sister. And he had his young son in the victory lane, so it was pretty interesting. Indy Lights' Sage Karam from Nazareth, PA, was the winner ahead of Carlos Munoz. The Colombian was Rookie of the Year at Indy last month, where he came a very impressive second. Now let's look at some races from June 8th. Elio Castroneves hung him high in Texas, giving Penske team first win of the season. Ryan Hunter-Reay was second with Tony Kanaan third, and this was, of course, at the Oval Texas Motor Speedway.
Of course, and when you win that race, you get a pair of Colt 45s, I believe.
Yeah. Shoot them any way you want.
Exactly.
Okay, and then ask questions. Okay, World Touring Car Championship, they were in Moscow. Winner in race one was Ivan Muller. Singing on the cooldown lab, see the USSR in your Chevrolet.
That's beautiful. Did Doris Day sing that?
Yeah. You know, it's amazing how the times have changed.
No, completely.
Yeah. Tom Coronel was second in his BMW. Race 2 winner was, I think he's from Norwegian, his last name is pronounced Nokia, in his Chevrolet with Muller second. And your favorite series?
Lunesca.
They were at Pocono, Pennsylvania, beautiful part of the country. And JJ, Jimmy Johnson, was the winner. And you know, top of the program, we talked about some tragedies. Jason Leffler was a young driver from Long Beach, California. He came through the system, and I remember at Indy, he once ran a race, Indy 500, with some help from Roger Penske. He unfortunately was killed in a sprint car accident, I think last Thursday, in Bridgeport, New Jersey. Very sad. And then I heard that he did not even have life insurance, and he leaves behind a young kid. So very sad. Jason Leffler passing away. And then Fraulein Gonzalez, Senor Gonzalez, you know, we had the pleasure and honor of meeting him a couple of years ago. It was very nice to meet him. And, you know, I felt very special, you know, when he gave me a big hug, and he was such in high spirit. He passed away. He was 90 years old, and, of course, gave Enzo Ferrari his first Grand Prix win in 1951. At Silverstone, and also won the Le Mans 24 Hours for Enzo with your homeboy Maurice Trintignant as teammate. So he passed away, and very sad what happened in Canada. And this gentleman apparently was helping retrieve the car of
Gutierrez.
And from what I have heard, that he dropped his radio and was trying to pick it up and stumbled and got hit by the mobile crane. So that's very sad. And it's never a good thing when you have these tragedies in motor racing. So our condolences to all the family members and friends of these people.
Nicely done, Nasser, and thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Now, let's hear from Desiree with 50 words from the forum.
Bonjour, Mademoiselle Desiree, back again with 50 words on the Canadian Grand Prix. These are words submitted by our forum members, and we will read them out loud at the Racecast. I want to add in, due to the nature of Quebec being bilingual French and English, the forum members could post in either French or English, but I'm not going to torture you with my French, so I am only going to read the English part, and I apologize to those of you that did submit in Francais. Thank you for that anyway. So let us start off with Kei He Shin, who says, no problems for Vettel. Not so calm for poor old Weber, who found that if you discard some of your front wing, you go faster. Bottas flatters to deceive. From Neon Zapper. Hamilton nearly placing second, proved he is in it to win it. Massa drove through the pack from 16th place to finish 8th. Alonso needed the bold moves he made on Weber and Hamilton, but Vettel only needed to keep driving fast, the Infinity Racing Red Bull. Another fantastic race. From myself, I said, Sebastian crosses off this Grand Prix off of his list. He was dominant. Fernando pulled himself onto the podium and showed his public relations skills. Lewis looked disappointed with third place. Montreal is such a beautiful city. Kimi? Oy vey. From the Venerable Dr. Mark. Dr. Mark says, a podium of world champions. Seb, irritatingly effusive after an uber-dominating win. Lewis, curiously downbeat despite an excellent drive eclipsing his teammate. But Fernando's brave face sums it all. This will be a red championship, but bovine, not Rosso. And from Yay, who says, I thought Pirelli were making tires that prevented Vettel storming off into the distance. Bring back the Barcelona spec, please. And once again, I apologize for not reading out the French part. I even posted in French, but I won't torture you with the read of it. But anyway, thank you, forum members. Anyone can join our forum, you know. There you have it, and there you go. Au revoir.
Nass, any last thoughts before we take a break until Silverstone?
Well, you know, this three-week, once the Formula One season starts, just my personal opinion is any break more than 2 weeks should be against the law.
It should be.
I can handle the 3-4 week mid-season break, you know, just to mechanics and the crews, and they can get a break, and but that's fine. But this, once the season starts, we don't need. And I want to see the season starts in January, like it used to do in Argentina in 1973 when I first started. And I'm not going to shed any crocodile or kimchi tears if the Korean Grand Prix is dropped and they're suffering financially. So let's get some races in Mexico, Argentina, where there is serious passion for motor racing. Senor.
I have another country to suggest.
Burkina Faso?
La France.
Yeah, the country that gave name to the Grand Prix. I mean, that's pretty sad, man, not to have a... Yeah, of course there should be a race there. Paul Ricard would be fantastic. You can do a street race in some very historical place, Angoulême or Reims or... It doesn't have to
Rouen.
Be... Yeah, Rouen would be fantastic.
Pau?
Yeah, oh yeah. Pau would be my first choice. I mean, if they can do a street race in... Singapore and Monte Carlo, Po. I mean, talk about history of Po, man. It's just incredible.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
People don't understand.
Yeah, and that would be fantastic, French Grand Prix at Po. And that's what we need, Historia with the future of Formula One.
Keep up the good work, Nasser. And in the meantime, my suggestion to you is YouTube Dijon 79.
It's always classic. It's always fantastic. He's off. He's on. It's amazing. I run into René Arnoux in the hamburger stand at Le Mans in 2009, and I get all excited. Says René Arnoux. As soon as I saw him, I said, René Arnoux, Dijon Prenois, 1979. Next thing you know, he's more excited than I am, and he comes up to me, he goes, best race in the world.
Now, we do have some exciting racing coming up. Le Mans, 24 heures.
That is a fantastic race, and I would highly... You know, over the years, quite a few people have written to me about this race and all that, and some of my friends have also gone there. I was there some years ago. It's a fantastic race, and I would like to go there one more time and spend, like, the whole 24 hours. I don't need to be at the track, but I want to be there at, like, 2 or 3 in the morning just to see the cars go. You know, the only thing I don't like about sports cars now, and I hope it never happens in Formula One, these turbo diesel engines, they don't make the sound. So if you're seeing a car at 2 in the morning going, I don't need that.
Well, wait till you hear and attend the new Formula E series.
No, that series, to me, would be like me going to NASCAR. Shoot me.
Very good, Nasser. I've just noted that down.
Please.
Keep up the good work. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and thanks for listening. Good night.
Bye-bye.